will be moving to the Grove Theater, sitting long in the Word, and be entranced by time's art. Good evening. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad that you have to listen.
Good evening. It's another night of Night Moves Radio. It is the slightly after 7 p.m. Central Time on June 7th, 2018. It is Thursday. It's the end of my week. I took the afternoon off.
Tomorrow will be the end of my week.
Tomorrow will be the end of Josh's week. We have a weekend trip, actually a day trip planned on Saturday.
Yeah.
We are going to, first, actually, what's really cool is I got in touch with a friend from camp that I have not heard from in 20 years.
Yeah, that's all.
And the thing is we already had this trip planned to go down south before that, but he is back home in Olney, and we're going to meet him in Salem. And then after that, we are going to Metropolis, and we'll be going to check out the Superman Museum. And as we were planning our trip, we found out that the Superman Celebration is going on.
Yeah, Brian came.
Yep.
Yep. He's going to be there with Charles and Song.
Yep. We found out also that Brian and Charles will be there. So it's like a really cool weekend. Oh, and we are going with our other fellow podcaster of Hollywood Connections, Ian Boothby.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like cool seeing an old friend from church camp. We're hanging out with Ian. And we're going to go to the Superman Museum, and we're going to see Brian and Charles, and Brian K. Morris will be back on our show next week. So, it all fits together. It's kind of like a puzzle with all these little pieces that all fit together in a weird, bizarre way.
I look forward to talking with Brian next week, because I'm going to talk to him about his book, Skyman versus Battles the Master of Steam, because I recently read that, and it was very good.
Cool. Yeah, I do remember you having that on your shelf, and then you reading that. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I don't know. I didn't even know the Superman Celebration was going on. Like, I just was looking up the Superman Museum, you know, checking out things, because I'd been there years ago. Josh has never been there.
No.
I'm not sure if Ian's ever been there. And then as I was looking it up, I saw that the celebration was going on. I was like, hey, Josh, guess what? So, like, what are the odds that we plan a trip and then the same weekend that's going on?
And didn't you say that Terrence Stamp is supposed to be
the
guy
who
played General Zod?
Yeah, he's supposed to be there. That's so, cool. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell him what's, you know, I've never been down there with celebration. I've been down south a lot, but it's been a while since I've been down south.
I think it was sad that the gal that played, Lois Lane died in the old... Did you hear about that?
I think you told me about that. Yeah.
I like the first two Superman films, but like 3 and 4, you know, the ones with Christopher Reeve?
Uh-huh.
3 and 4 were awful. They were considered some of the...
I don't know if I remember those. Like, I slightly remember watching some of them when I was really little, like with my parents, like on TV, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think it'd be cool. It's going to be hot, but I think it'd be worth it. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know what I'm complaining about. I went and whacked off all my hair last week, so whatever. Still adjusting to that one. Speaking of old friends and seeing your body, we have another old friend joining us tonight who has been on our show. I don't know if it was since last year or earlier this year. I can't remember. But Austin Malcolm, he was at the Art and Equality Festival that turned into a winter storm back at the beginning of April, who also donned a bathrobe for a while, which was kind of funny. So you never quite know what to expect from Austin. And it looks like he's been ready and hanging on, so we're going to go ahead and invite him in. Good evening, Austin Malcolm.
Good evening. evening, Ariana. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm coming to you live from sunny Decatur, Illinois. The smog is thick. The smog is so thick, we don't have to worry about sunscreen.
Oh, no. Yeah, you've got Staley's. Woohoo.
I call Decatur, Illinois, Gotham City because just of all the horror stories I hear about the crime rate over there.
It is. It's kind of dark. There's parts of Decatur that is quite dark.
There definitely is. but, you know, it's the fifth largest city in Illinois. So I suppose you have to expect a little bit of something. But that's why I've taken to cleaning up the streets myself.
Oh, are you going to run for mayor?
No, actually, every night I put on skin-tight spandex and run through the streets looking for crime. I have found no crime, but I have been beat up and robbed 3 times.
Oh, boy. You're very brave for that. I'm sure you're probably just swiftly running down Martin Luther King Drive.
That's not on my route. I haven't worked my way up that far. Thank you for the suggestion.
You're quite welcome. I accidentally found myself down that street one time and was scared to death.
One street that's even worse, that's supposedly the crime alley of Decatur, is Peachtree Grove. Have you heard of that one?
I have not. I'm not terribly familiar with that area.
You don't want to be. I mean, you look at one person wrong in that area, you get shot. That's what I hear.
There used to be a creepy photographer in Decatur.
what now?
A creepy photographer.
Yeah, she had a bad, Ariana had a bad right. experience with the photographer.
Yeah, my orthodontist was in Decatur. I used to have to drive down there to get my braces tightened and taken off, all that good jazz. And once you got your braces taken off, you got a free 8x10 at this photographer because she liked to post all of her clients' teeth and their smiles up on her wall. And mind me, she took mostly care of a lot of younger people. I was in my early 20s by the time I got those taken off. So I've been with her since I was like 17. Anyway, she sends her clients to this photographer. I'm sitting there, and he tells then, you know, my family at the time to, you know, they could go sit out in the waiting room. And he sits there, and I don't know how many times he put his hand on my leg and on my knee. I know he's trying to sell me, but he was a little bit too handy for me. So, yeah, and my face was red, and I was very young and very embarrassed.
Oh, wow. When I go to the dentist, I don't get service like that.
Well, it wasn't the dentist. That was the photographer. My dentist was wonderful.
Oh,
she, yes, okay. Yeah. My orthodontist, she was great.
But you had a photographer offering you happy endings. That's not good.
Yeah, it was not fun. So, yeah. And I can't believe she sent her clients to him. I was just a really bad, nervous wreck by the time I got done.
You know, that's probably, we're comparing Decatur to Gotham City. That could be my first supervillain.
Yeah, there you go.
He stays at home all day. He stays at home and draws pictures of teeth. Perfect teeth. The perfect tooth. A bunch from heaven.
There you go. There's your next book.
There it is. My cuspids from heaven.
You should totally do it, Austin.
I should.
Yeah, and then...
Well, that's how I start some of my books. Not all of them, but some of them I start with the title.
Mm-hmm.
The more outlandish, the better, and I just work out from there.
That's great, because, like, so many people, like, they don't... can't work from a title. I'm one of those people, at least I know I can't work from a title. I just get like the beginning of like, I don't know, some paragraphs or a story, and it might be the beginning, might be the middle, heck, I don't know. And then you know, I can go from there. Sometimes even my poetry sort of works that way, but that's pretty cool if you can work from a title.
Yeah, sometimes it works out, and then sometimes, who knows?
Yeah, so, like, I see all of that. You're going to be at the first annual Indie Art Convention that's coming up in July in Savoy, right?
Yes, I will be there. This is the first time they've held that event. But I really had a good time at the last convention we had in Savoy. Very good people. It was a nice town. Sort of a nice atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
The convention space is a little cozy, but that was kind of nice.
It was nice.
Very friendly, sort of. Well,
it was nice. It was friendly, except for the snowstorm.
Yeah, the deadly blizzard kind of detracted from the appeal of the event. Nobody wanted to get their sled dogs out and come to the
yeah.
But hopefully, we won't have snow this time.
Well, I don't think you guys will be having snow. I won't be at that convention. We're decided to do the spook show in August instead. But it looks like it could be a good convention. It was a good space. I don't know if he's only doing half the gym again for the Indie Art Con. I know the Dark History and Horror Con will also be in the same space, but I think at that point he'll be using the whole gym. I don't know. It was a good space, but when I was doing my talk, there were guys playing basketball on the other side of the gym. It was not a good venue for my presentation.
The acoustics were a little odd. I think that with a little more planning, it could have gone a little better, could have been a little smoother. But your presentation was good. I enjoyed it personally.
Well, thank you.
And I'm sure those are kinks that will be ironed out before the next big show.
Oh yeah,
spook show is always a bigger event anyway.
Yeah,
not spook show. I'm so sorry.
Dark history. Yeah, yeah. I probably won't be doing that. I'll be doing that presentation at a different venue. I'm actually doing that one at Candlelight Vigils for Domestic Violence.
Yeah,
where it will make sense.
Are you? And where is that located?
I will be doing one Matt Toon at Pearson Park in October, and then wherever the one is in Sullivan in October. So I'll be doing two vigils in October.
Wow, good for you.
Thanks.
Good for you.
Yeah. So at the Art Indie Con or Indie Art Con, I'm saying it backwards, are you going to have your books there, or do you have art, or what's going on with that?
Well, thank you for asking. Yes, I'm going to have all of my books. I've just recently completed my print book between the last convention and this one. It's called The Simple Pleasures of a Lubricated Catfish. And it's a full color. It's a collection of all of my short stories with color art, original color art by myself. And actually the cover is made of my own skin, which you have to see to understand.
Oh.
But the cover is made of my own flesh. So I went one step further than Stephen King ever did.
Holy heck. Wow.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. So I'll have all of my books there, and possibly I also am a cartoonist, and I'm working on some comics that hopefully I'll be able to complete by then.
Awesome.
Speaking of
comics, looking forward to seeing some old friends. Yeah.
Very cool.
Speaking of comics, the Done With Your Own Flesh thing, I think the band Kiss inked one of the comics in their own blood at one point in their comic book series from Marvel. I don't know which one it was. But supposedly they inked it in their own blood. They had it inked in their own blood.
Tasty.
Yeah. Tasty for a vampire.
Wow. I wonder if that was approved by the Comics Code Authority of America.
I'm going to guess no, and if I had to go through any type of health department, then they would say no as well. Because we have to deal with the health department sometimes at work. Wow, so that's pretty creative there, Austin.
Oh, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
So, I'll be there and I'll have my book.
What about your bathrobe?
You will not be there. You won't come and see me.
No, we're kind of busy, so yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, I see how it is.
Honestly, Josh will probably end up having to work. Yeah, Josh will probably end up working. We ask for it off. Here lately, he's been getting about every other weekend off. But
yeah.
For conventions, we specifically ask for certain weekends off so that he can have it off. I always have Saturdays off, but he has to get it off to make sure that we're there for the conventions.
Well, that definitely makes sense. I understand. Believe me, I understand.
Yeah, we would like to keep a roof over our head and food to eat.
Yeah.
Well, you have your priorities and I have mine. So that's why I live in a cardboard box.
But I'm sure it's quite fancy. It's quite fancy cardboard box, I'm sure.
a quite dirty, damp, smelly thing, and I urinate in the corner, so...
Oh, God.
Lord.
I don't entertain very many house guests, so I will say that.
Maybe some animals, like some birds or something?
Only for dinner. I have a fishing pole, and I put bread on the hook and try to lure them into my box. I toss it down the alleyway and wait for them to approach me.
You know, it's kind of the same subject, but not, but years ago, I wrote a poem, and it's called Cardboard Box, and I was actually comparing a cardboard box to my strict upbringing, and so, yeah, but the poem is called Cardboard Box.
I like that. I think a lot of people can appreciate that sentiment of being sort of contained in a box.
Yeah.
That is not of their own. To die.
Oh yeah, but if people didn't know me well or understand what I was talking about, there's a few people when they read that poem, they actually thought I was talking about a cardboard box.
Oh, a literal cardboard box.
They thought, yeah, like I lived in one. Yeah, because like when I read it, like because like one of my old poetry groups, like I think her husband or whoever it was, someone was there, and when they got home, like he actually questioned her if I had lived in a box. He didn't understand the symbolism.
Who was this?
I'm gonna say it on air.
Oh.
Do what?
He didn't comprehend the metaphor.
No, and it's okay. He was a very sweet, you know, elderly fella, and he was nice, but I guess he didn't understand the poetic, the meaning I was trying to get behind it. I mean, I never did really say, like, I guess I kind of said I lived in one, but I didn't literally live in one. I'd have to find it, but it was kind of funny and sweet all in the same way. But yeah, yeah, sometimes you gotta be careful when you're writing, you know, like people, like if I guess they don't understand symbolism or metaphors, like they're gonna take you quite literally. So like I don't know if anyone's ever picked up one of your books and taken you very literally, and it might be interesting what they come up with.
Well, I like to sort of insert myself into my own books on occasion.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, when I'm introducing some of my books, I introduce them with paragraphs about supposed adventures that I've had. For example, in one of my books entitled That Time That Guy Found a Sock That Turned Him Into a Sexy Rob Schneider, I introduce it with a story about my time that I spent exploring the Amazon in search of new species of orchids.
Hmm.
Which, you know, it's actually a true story that actually happened.
Very interesting.
It didn't actually happen, I'm lying.
Okay. Well, you know, I had to say something.
But, you know, like you said, someone will pick it up someday and say, I wonder, did this really happen?
Yeah, they just might.
Really ingest hallucinogenic chemicals with Amazonian tribes. You'll never know.
No? They'll pick it up 100 years from now, and then they'll wonder, and they won't be able to ask you, unless they figured out how we all can live forever.
I don't know. Immortality.
They'll have to put our brains into some robots, you know, like we'll be all robotic. They'll put us in some artificial intelligence. So maybe in 100 years, we'll just be a bunch of AI, you know, robots.
That segues very nicely into a new project that I'm working on. If you don't mind, I'd like to
sure.
just a moment.
Go for it.
To introduce my latest project, I call it Austin Bot. I'm designing a chatbot based on myself. And I run my blog, Origination's blog. It's emotional support for writers. And I'm going to introduce the chatbot onto my website, so people who have questions or are bored or enjoy stories about talking cheeses will be able to go onto my website and engage in a conversation with a robot based on myself.
That's pretty cool.
If that appeals to anyone in America, I will be shocked.
You should totally go for it. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, it's very cool. You know what I like to see you write, Austin? Because you have such silly, wacky ideas. You should write a choose-your-own-adventure book. Bring those back.
Yeah. I really really enjoy those. Actually, the same book, the Rob Schneider book, which I mentioned earlier, has a choose-your-own adventure section in it.
Oh, cool.
One third of the novel is a choose-your-own adventure. It starts out as a screenplay, which segues into a third-person narrative, which segues into a first-person present tense noir detective story, which turns into a crossword puzzle followed by a choose-your-own adventure.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not traditional, but
it works. Hey, yeah, see, that's what's cool about you. You do things that are totally off the wall and unexpected, and that's what makes your stuff special.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I try hard, but I try.
Well, you know, but like, I don't hear a lot of people come up with some of these ideas that you have, and you're Austin Bot. See, I think maybe somehow, like, you could have an Austin Bot that does like an online choose your own adventure, so he can talk to the Austin Bot while they choose their adventure and choose what paths they take, and the Austin Bot can tell them what they think of the choice that they just made.
Okay, that's what we're going to do. You've altered the course of Austin Bot. You've helped me develop Austin Bot 2.0, the interactive storytelling experience.
Yeah, there you go. That's totally cool. You should, yeah, do it.
The music of ABBA.
Yes. Yes, the Dancing Queen. Oh, or gosh, Mamma Mia. Oh my God. Oh,
not,
God.
Not that I mind hearing how wonderful I am, because believe me, I enjoy it. But both you and Josh are authors in your own right. And I was reading on Facebook, I think, that your new anthology is complete.
Yes, it is. Gosh, that took me forever. I love putting it together. It was our first anthology that I've ever put together with different authors. There's over 30. And, yeah, it took... Yeah, and they're as close as Tuscola, Illinois, and as far away as India.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're already international.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to snag a copy of that sometime.
You totally should.
I will.
Yeah, we've sold a few copies actually already. I was just like, okay, well, this is cool. So yeah, we, you know, we're indie authors ourselves, you know, as you know, and it's hard to market, but like, we stuck an anthology out there, and like after the first day I put it out there, I had people buying a copy already. I was like, well, how come it's not this easy when I put my own books out there? What the heck?
it's a difficult market.
Yeah.
It's a difficult market, but it's worth it.
Yeah. I think maybe as we get Cherry House Press out there more, because even we got the anthology done, but as we've got that done, we have more authors coming on board that we hope to publish this summer, actually. And so we're hoping with getting our name out there, then we'll start putting more of our own books under Cherry House Press, and then maybe more people become familiar with it. And maybe Austin can submit something.
Yeah, hopefully. That'd be good.
Yeah, I've been working for weeks on this story about a very creepy photographer who has an obsession with bowlers. I'm going to handwrite it in my own blood as a band kit.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, no kidding. Yeah, you should submit something. It'd be fun.
That sounds good.
Whenever you want, because like we'll probably be a while before we do our next anthology, because we want to get this one marketed. But we are taking submissions from authors, like anything from I'm sure you could create something kind of sci-fi-ish or with horror. I'm not going to put ISH on horror because it sounds like something else.
What?
You know, I could say sci-fi-ish, but I wasn't going to put ISH on horror because horror. It will sound like something else.
Horror-like.
Yeah.
Horror-like.
Because
yeah.
We take science fiction, fantasy, and collections of
horror.
Poems.
Yeah.
I do a lot of the poetry since
all
that's...
Right. Well,
yeah.
That sounds good. I'll definitely send you something.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, we're excited. I was excited when I saw like a few like the copies sold pop up, and then like another day, another couple, I was like, hey, Josh, We sold some copies.
That's the greatest feeling in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially because I spent like 3 months on that anthology.
Yeah, she put a lot of work into it.
Oh, I did sifting. That doesn't even count the, oh my God, all the time I spent sifting through all the submissions. Oh, good Lord. It was fun, but you believe, like, what some of the things people send you. I read some very interesting things that I had to kindly turn down.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. I don't get sent things because I live in a cardboard box.
Oh, well, get a P.O. box, or you're a starving artist, so can you afford a P.O. box?
Well, I can only sell so much blood a week.
So. Yeah.
Well, start selling your body.
The blood bank's over there on Martin Luther King.
So oh, yeah. No, what you need to do is just make yourself like a little, find like a go through some trash and find like a plastic container and then black magic marker that you also find in the trash and write mail on it. And then so kindly tell the postman to anything, you know, with your name on it. It can say Austin Malcolm, cardboard box, and then the town you live in. And then, you know, he can drop it in your plastic container.
Well, that's an excellent idea.
It is.
I'm not particular. It doesn't even have to be addressed to me. Just anything he doesn't want to deliver, he can shove in my little mail bucket.
Yeah, there you go. See, make sure it's plastic.
That's good. That's a good
idea. Yeah, and make sure it's plastic, like hard plastic.
Very good for my self-esteem. Thank you. Thank you for your concern, Ariana. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It all reminds me of that time that Josh and I were camping in the Himalayas. Do you remember that, Josh?
Vaguely.
Yeah, you did. You told me about it.
It was a trip.
It was such a trip. He can't remember it. Yeah. That's why.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't know that. You knew Josh those days, Ariana, but he was quite the party animal.
Oh, yeah, I know. He told me about those days.
I remember so well. I remember the night we spent huddled under a yurt made of buffalo skin, drinking fermented yak milk, dancing around the fire.
Oh, yeah.
Good time, Josh. I don't know why we don't do that more often.
You totally should, and then you could write more about it.
Oh, yeah, Josh and I, we go way back.
Well, you know, that's been way, way back, because I've known him for about 10 years.
We were second grade at the time. So.
I see. So you were those lock kid keys, you know, where the key, you know, the parents are never home and you just go home. So you were able to go camping while you were 7 years old.
It's true. I mean, I didn't have a lot of parental support. Now I live in a cardboard box.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess it all makes sense. See, all the puzzles of the all the pieces of the puzzle fit together.
Yep. Those were the days.
You know what, though? Like I said, I wrote a poem about it. I once too lived in a cardboard box.
Well, then you won't mind visiting me in mine.
No.
Already know what to expect.
I sure do. I'll make sure, just to be nice, that I'll wipe my feet before I come in.
I would appreciate that.
Hey, you know, besides with your cardboard box living situation, weren't you working on a film?
Yes, I was. I was working very hard on something called Cannibal Nazi Hobos. It's been my obsession. It's taken every second of every waking moment in the last, I don't know, 2 years. But unfortunately, there's been a series of major setbacks. So at the moment, it's postponed.
Oh, I understand.
I tabled it.
Mm-hmm. So a series of unfortunate events.
I'm going to go back to, right, things radically beyond my control. And so I still hope to. The script is tight. The script is on point. It's unique, it's insane, it's absurd, it's everything you would expect from, you know, the sort of crap that I write. But it's really, really good. I really love it, and I hope someday I get to see it on the big screen. I'm still going to work towards that goal. But at the moment, because it's not going to occur in the timetable that I had originally set out, I'm just going to keep working towards it, but unfortunately the production is kind of stalled.
Oh, that stinks.
So, it's a bit heartbreaking, but we'll get through it. We'll get this movie made eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of like me, when you get big on writing movies and putting together, you can finally help me put together Only If, so I can turn that into a play or a short film.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I said when you get really good and you get like all these awards for your movie, that when you finally do get it out, then you can start helping me make my story Only If into a short film.
That sounds lovely. That
yeah.
sounds great. Sorry, I didn't hear you. There was a drive-by shooting next door.
It's
ringing.
Yeah. I can understand that. It's a good thing the bullets.
Yeah. Cardboard box.
Yeah, it says so. They missed your cardboard box then, huh?
Good.
I'd hate for you to get a hole in that cardboard box and have a leak because, you know, there's a chance of rain on Saturday, so I'd hate for your box to get rained on.
Again, I appreciate your concern.
You're welcome.
Fortunately, I've arranged my box next to the dumpster, and so if it rains too much, I'll just open the lid and climb inside of that.
Oh, so, make sure you bring your Febreze.
It's kind of a Chinese restaurant, so I can sleep on giant trash bags filled with refried, like, rice, you know?
Ew! Oh, yeah.
Make that happen. So if you're interested in that, that's definitely something you should pursue.
Oh, I totally am. I need to get it wrote, turned it into like a script. The first book of the series, because I'm still working on the second one, would make a terrific, even a play or a short film. Honestly, I think it would have had people read it and tell me they think it would be. So I don't know. I have friends who are big with the little theater. One of the guys like the manager of the theater, and I don't know like how to make that happen. I'm like, hey, can you get your actors that are busy in plays all summer? Like, yeah, try this out. So, yeah, I don't think so. But surely he might have connections of people I can talk to. But I do know some people who are very largely in with the little theater on the square in Sullivan. So, yeah.
Well, that's an excellent start.
But like I said, I don't want to bother them with it because they're very busy already with all these wonderful plays that are going on this summer.
Well, I can only share my experiences. And I have been treated very well by people just reaching out to strangers and saying, hey, would you like to be involved in what I'm working on?
Uh-huh.
And if you're not afraid to tell people about your project, if they believe in it, they'll come aboard.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of, you know, being good to people and people will be good to you.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who are interested in expanding their filmography.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I'm sure if you reach out to people, you can find definitely find the help you're looking for.
I did even buy a book on... I did buy a book on how to write, you know, like scripts and like how to write like a play. So that maybe I could kind of figure it out. I've acted in plays. I've never wrote one, but I think I could figure it out.
Excellent. That's excellent. And again, you know, I recommend everybody to their local library. If there's anything you're ever in doubt or you need to do, so search at your local library.
Oh yeah.
One book that really helped me was the Screenwriter Bible.
Oh, cool.
And there are like 25 edition. I think it's in the 26th edition now. It's a fantastic book. It's everything you need to produce a film according to the standard accepted format. Film scripts are really odd. They have a lot of really bizarre formatting requirements. The margins have to be just so, and the page sizes. It's really ridiculous. But the Screenwriter's Bible helps me a lot, and there's a piece of software that I recommend as well, and it's called Trello. Trelby, Trelby is a freeware software program designed to help people write screenplays.
Oh,
and it has a lot of interesting features. For example, it automatically formats your script for you, and it keeps it remembers the names of all of your characters and all of your locations, so that when you're writing dialogue, it will input the names of the characters automatically.
Oh, neat!
So it's very useful, right? And it includes a name database of, I believe, 22,000 words. So sometimes when I'm writing anything, you know, I'll use that as a resource to help me come up with new names. So Trelby, I think the website is Trelby.org.
Oh, cool.
I highly recommend that as well.
Definitely, yeah. Totally check that out.
Get your movie written.
Yeah, thanks for that. Very awesome. Thank you for the resource. Yeah, like I said, I want to get like that going. I got to get the second one, like, book of the series done, because it would be cool, because then I could say, so we did the first one, so would you be interested in doing the second one? Because then it would totally fit together nicely.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. One day, before I'm dead, it will happen.
I understand how this is. You know, it's for me, I always have more projects to work on than I have time.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, I'm hoping that when I do die, you know, I get up to heaven and I can be like, hey, like, God, if you don't mind, can I, like, put all these other studies on hold so I can finish all the projects that I didn't get done on Earth? You know, hopefully, you know, he won't mind.
Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Don't know what to tell you about that. Just work harder. Work harder. That's the solution.
I know. I hope that, like, I'm here for another, like, 40, 50 years, you know, hopefully.
Will it be enough?
I don't know, but another 40 years, I will be approaching 80, as I will be 37 on the 28th. So, yeah, and I gotta hope I don't develop really horrible arthritis, or I'll have to use a lot of speaking software to write all my stuff, and then I gotta make sure I have all my teeth so that I can, you know, say all my words right, so, you know, I'll be falling apart as the years go by.
Well, it's good that you have it all planned out, then.
Yeah.
As for myself, I just plan on spiraling downward as my writing career slowly disappears.
Oh, no.
Maybe I might take up heroin as a hobby.
No. No.
Start talking to pigeons in the park.
No, you don't want to do that.
You can't get much worse from here.
No. You know, once a writer, always a writer. You'll never spiral down. And don't be talking to birds and stuff. There's people that do those other really horrible drugs, and they, like, pretend they're cows. So, yeah. So don't go down that road. Just say no to drugs, Malcolm.
This conversation is taking a strange turn.
And you have 5 whole minutes here. So, like, you know, we got to... What other cool stuff do you have to tell our listeners that we haven't talked about already?
Well, all right. Well, if you don't mind, I'll just shamelessly plug my newest
book. Totally.
Straight from the pages, my print book, The Simple Pleasures of Lubricated Catfish, as I mentioned, a collection of shorts. And so I've just finished a very nice, very lovely Kindle version of one of the stories in here. It's called Chocolate Farm. And, you know, there's an old adage, write what you know. And so I write about enemas, prostitutes, and people who engage in sexual acts with cheese products. And that's Chocolate Farm. And I'm running a promotion. So starting tomorrow, between Friday and Sunday, go to Kindle. I'll post the link on my Facebook page, my author's Facebook page as well.
Cool.
For Austin Malcolm. And I'll post the link to that Kindle story. It'll be completely free of charge.
Awesome.
To, you know.
Posted on the Night Moves Radio Facebook page.
I will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I hope some people enjoy it. You know?
Great.
I hope some people enjoy it.
Very awesome.
But I'm just always working. I'm always working. And if you don't like what I'm writing now, just stick around, because the best is yet to come.
Hey, that's like Illinois. If you don't like the weather, stay around. It'll change.
Yeah.
Exactly. 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 And you can always head over to my Facebook page. I'm sorry, my blog, originations.wordpress.com. And it's what I describe as the warrior's way for writers. I have a very sort of strict Zen approach to writing. And it doesn't work for everyone, but it works for me. So if you cruise over to my website, you can see some of my musings about art and life and creation. And I always try to put something on there that someone will be able to use.
Cool. Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on to Night Moves Radio. We've enjoyed having you. You know you're always welcome back. Makes for a delightful comedy 45 minutes.
Yeah, thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you. And we hope to see you soon at upcoming conventions. If not Spook Show, maybe we'll see you at Dark History.
That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, good luck at the Indie Art Con.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, that was author Austin Malcolm. Austin Malcolm, yes. And so we'll make sure we get his stuff online on Night Moves Radio. Next week will be Brian K. Morse and all his fun stuff. And we hopefully will post some pictures of Metropolis and the Superman Celebration and the Superman Museum. Oops. So until next time, we will be on next week, next Thursday at 7 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. Good night.
Good night.
At this time, the Riff Network would like to recognize its sponsors. The Insurance Doctor, looking to save 30% or more in your insurance needs. Divine Magic and Novelties, your wonderful employer. Glassworks Gallery, Sperryville, Virginia, for all of your glassworks. The Skeleton Key. You've always had a key. And Awakening Spirit Art Productions. Thank you to all of you and your support of the Red Network.
Thank you for using the